So, there's a couple of things that John mentioned last week that I'd like to emphasize. And that is that the commandments, we've been talking about the Ten Commandments, the commandments are not a laundry list of do's and don'ts. I know that the Ten Commandments say, you shall not do this, you shall not do that, you shall not do the other. But I think that John was spot on last week when he talked about what's behind those commandments. As Jesus explained in the Sermon on the Mount, the heart is what matters. It's not just the outward activity, the outward action, abstaining from evil things, doing good things, but also doing them with the right heart, with the right attitude. We don't keep God's commandments because we're seeking to gain His favor, but because we love Him and because He first loved us. That is an outgrowth. Our keeping the commandments is an outgrowth of our love for God and of His love for us. Also, it should be a joy and not a burden to keep God's commands. As John said in 1 John 5:3, this is love, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. And so we don't look at the commandments as something that, what a drag, we have to do these things. On the contrary, we should rejoice that the God of the universe considers us His people, and as such, wants us to be holy, wants us to practice that holiness. So as we continue to discuss the Ten Commandments, we've come to the second part of that Decalogue, the last six commandments, which deal with our relationship with one another, as opposed to our relationship directly with God. Now, obviously, how we treat one another also has to do with our relationship with God. If we don't treat one another the way that we ought to, the way that God expects us to treat one another, whether believers or not, then our relationship with God is going to suffer. That's going to have a detrimental effect on how we relate to God as well. But as opposed to the first four, which are directly in our relationship with God, man does not intervene. The last six are directly our relationship with people. The fifth commandment, it shouldn't be controversial, but sometimes it is. Because the reality is, for me anyway, whenever somebody has problem honoring father or mother, it kind of leaves me scratching my head, right? Who wouldn't want to love his parents? Who wouldn't want to honor his parents? There's times when there's going to be disagreements. As you become older, that unfortunately sometimes becomes more prevalent. But that doesn't mean that you have to break the relationship or that it has to be degraded because you have a disagreement. You should disagree respectfully, understanding that these are your parents nevertheless. Now, I understand many have had parents that have either been neglectful. Some folks have been abandoned, unfortunately. Others have been abusive. They've had parents that have abused them either physically, verbally, or both. So I'm cognizant of that fact, and I'm not minimizing that fact either. And then you have some parents that are permissive, overly permissive, don't seem to be able to tell their children no. And so that, in a way, is also neglecting them, because when you don't provide that guidance and that discipline, then the child is going to suffer. You know, children are like water. They're going to follow the path of least resistance. And if you don't put a stop to some of their wants and their behaviors, they're going to suffer later on in life because of that. And so even though it may be painful and difficult to discipline our children, but it's something that needs to be done nonetheless. For the most part, however, it seems that it's rather intuitive for us to honor and respect our parents. Until and unless we get married, that relationship parent-child is the most important relationship, human relationship that we have. Once we get married, obviously, and then have children, then those relationships become take center stage in our lives. But before that, our parental child responsibility, or relationship rather, is the number one relationship that we have. Now, in my own life, my parents, who by the grace of God are still alive. My father is 80 and my mother is 78. Were good parents, at least humanly speaking. They were not believers, but you know, they treated us pretty well, I would say. I mean, even looking back now in hindsight, I would say that they were pretty good parents. Our relationships have always been one of respect and love, them for us and us for them. And again, by the grace of God, over the last 40 years or so, they've been believers. And so, of course, that's even better. Now the relationship takes on a deeper connotation. You know, unfortunately, like I said, others have had relationships, you know, children or childhoods that have been full of abuse or disdain. Paul talks about those kinds of relationships in Romans 1. He talks about those who have been given up by God because of their passions. And one of the things that he mentions near the end of that that list is those who have been disobedient to parents. And so you see that some children obviously do not have that natural respect and love for their parents. And then in 1 Timothy 1, he goes even further. He talks about those for whom the law has been made or instituted. And he said that among others, you know, he again has a list of sins there. And then he talks about those who kill fathers and mothers. So obviously an extreme form of parent dishonoring. So it's obvious that disrespecting your parents is a very grievous sin. You know, the Bible makes it clear that that's the case. And we'll talk a little more about that as we talk about the origin of the commandment and so on and so forth, and some of the penalties that were affixed to violating that commandment. So let's look at the commandment, what the Catechism has to say about it, because there's more to honoring your parents than just not doing them harm. And we'll see that as we go along. So which is the first, or the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment is, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. And that is in Exodus chapter 12, or 20, verse 12. And it's repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. So what does it mean to honor your parents? Is it enough not to give them grief? Can we say we honor our parents because we don't talk back to them, right, when you're younger? Definitely those things are included. So children, those things are included, sorry. But it goes much further than that. As I mentioned, it's not just the not doing the bad things that are included in the command. There are other things as well. It's unfortunate that our society is becoming more and more callous to the plight of those who are aging. There are many societies in the world where parents are revered, they're looked upon with respect. That's the culture. In my own culture, for example, the Hispanic culture, for the most part, obviously there's always exceptions. Okay? And so I'm not going to cast a general net and say that everybody is that way, because it's not the case. But so there are exceptions. But for the most part, children believe that their parents are to be respected, they're to be honored, and that when they are no longer able to care for themselves, then it's the responsibility of the child to take care of them. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says that it is the parent's responsibility to lay in store for the children, and that is obviously true. But it is also true that the gray head is worthy of respect. In 1 Timothy 5, Paul reminds Timothy not to deal harshly with older men, or later on with older women as well, but to treat them as fathers and the older women as mothers. And so the obvious implication there is that you're treating your father and your mother with respect. And so the way that you treat your parents, that's the way that you treat your elders as well. But unfortunately, as I mentioned, that is not the view of everyone in the world as we see it all around us now in our society. In some societies more than others, but I think that in our society as well, it's becoming more widespread. Older people are being marginalized more and more. They're being sort of like pushed to the side. And I think it has a lot to do with the evolutionary naturalistic idea. Why? Because when you think that all you are is, you know, a bunch of atoms banging around with no particular purpose, well then why would it be a problem for someone whom you consider no longer useful to just fade away, right? And the quicker he fades away or she fades away, the better. So I think that the evolutionary naturalistic idea is the primary culprit for that attitude. Children are putting their parents in nursing homes more and more, leaving them there for their inevitable demise, unlamented and often without visiting, without looking at after them, without doing even the minimum for them. Now, let me here say, okay, I'm not saying or implying that if you have a parent in a nursing home that you're sinning. There are some extenuating circumstances that make it necessary. You know, sometimes a parent doesn't want to live with their children. That's just reality. There might be an issue with the relationship itself, or maybe the parent just feels like, I don't want to impose on you. I mean, a lot of parents feel that way. And again, if you don't come from that culture, then it's difficult for you to move into that particular way of doing things. And so again, that doesn't necessarily mean that if you're a person who has a parent in a nursing home, that you're sinning. But again, it's I think the attitude is that even if your parent is in one of those institutions, what are you doing to honor them? What are you doing to show them your respect and your love? What is required of the fifth commandment is the next question. The fifth commandment requires the preserving, the honoring, and performing of duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relations as superiors, inferiors, or equals. Now, the catechism and a lot of the commentators also extend the commandment beyond the parent-child relationship. You know, whether that's right or not, I don't know. But that's not what I'm going to deal with. I want to focus on the children and parent relationship primarily. What the catechism says about relationships with superiors, whether it's your boss, you know, whether it's the law, whoever it may be who's superior to you, it's true. We are to respect our bosses, for example. We're to respect those who are above us as superiors in the law and so on and so forth. So the command can be used in that sense. But that, again, is not my focus tonight. I think that the primary issue is, again, parent relationship. So that's what I will focus on. And in that vein, let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, beginning with 1, that says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." A similar passage to that one is found in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 20, where Paul says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." So notice what Paul tells children. First, they are to obey or honor their parents. Now, honoring as a member of the body, we are to respect each other, especially if our parents are members of the kingdom. As citizens of the kingdom, we have not only to respect them as our parents, but also as our brethren. To honor is to revere, to hold in high esteem, to respect for their own sake. Honoring your parents includes those who are good and those that are not so good, right? Those that are loving, those that are abusive. Again, that's not the way the world looks at things. You know, the world looks at things, and you see this a lot when it comes to psychological issues, right? Where the psychologist will tell the child, well, your parents probably abused you when you were little, and that's why you're having these feelings now and all that kind of thing. Those repressed feelings, supposedly, that the individual has. And so the parents are made to bear the responsibility and the guilt, the fault, for supposedly the problems that their children develop in latter life. True or not. Right, and so that becomes a problem between the child and his parent. But the command doesn't give us some sort of out. It doesn't say honor your father and mother if they're nice and if they're loving or and if they're likable. It doesn't leave any of that open to question. It says honor your father and your mother, period. Right? So there's no caveats affixed to that commandment. Secondly, the reason we're to do so is because it is right. Although Paul will go on to append the promise that is found in the Torah, he inserts something that is not found in that particular reference. In other words, we do it because it's right. It's the right thing to do, therefore we are going to do it. To do otherwise, obviously, if it is right to honor your father and your mother, then it is wrong not to do so. To dishonor and disobey is wrong simply because it is wrong. There's no situation where dishonoring our parents will be looked upon by God with favor. The passage in Colossians adds that we are to be obedient in all things as well. And let me say here, say something, a clarification there. Being obedient doesn't mean you obey them all the time, no matter what they're telling you to do, obviously. We have to use our common sense. If your parents are non-believers and they want you to do things that are contrary to the law of God, then you're not going to honor them or respect them in that way. And even if they're believers, you know, sometimes we have our weaknesses. And we may do something that we shouldn't be doing. And so again, we should not follow our parents in doing that simply because we want to show them honor and respect. But the problem is that too often we seem to use a lot of excuses not to honor our parents. Remember what the Pharisees did. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7 of Matthew, Jesus told them that they had the law, but they would say something to the effect that whatever I have to give to you, talking to their parents, is korban, or it was sacred. You know, it was reserved to give to God, supposedly. And so the Lord doesn't look upon that with good eyes. He says that they have annulled God's law by their traditions. And so notice the importance of obeying your parents and honoring your parents. I think it's a big problem when people seek to get away from doing their responsibilities because supposedly they have to do this for God, when in reality God has not said any such thing. They're just adding to God's word in order to get away from their responsibility. And we see it with parents doing it with children, parents, and so on. So unfortunately that's the case, but we are not to be that way. You know, the people of God are to be different. Thirdly, it is a verbatim repetition of the commandment as found in the Torah when we have the promise. So Paul says that this is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is that it will go well with us. We will have long life on the earth. Now, does that mean that we obey our parents, everything's going to come up smelling roses, and we're going to live till 93? Right? Obviously not. A lot of people have honored their parents all their lives, and they've had lots of difficulties, and they have died at a fairly young age, maybe. You know, what's considered a young age. So obviously that's not the idea. You know, but it does mean that God will look with favor upon us. Our life will be much better, much more blessed than if we don't obey the command. However, bear in mind, what we often count as blessings is not what God counts as blessings. Okay? A lot of times we have a tendency to think that, you know, blessings means we'll have a lot of stuff. You know, we'll have bigger cars, bigger houses, more money in the bank, etc., etc. Lots of this, lots of that. But to God, however, blessings are primarily spiritual in nature. Doesn't mean you will not get some of those things as well. You know, God will do whatever He does. But we have to bear in mind that the spiritual blessings are the things that will last. Those are the things that go with us. If God blesses us spiritually, nobody can take that away from us. You know, things, as the Lord said in Matthew chapter 6, they corrupt and they rust and they go away. But spiritual blessings never will. And the Colossians passage, Paul indicates that this is pleasing to the Lord. And who wouldn't want to be pleasing to the Lord? Who wouldn't want to be on His good side, so to speak? I certainly would. And I hope that all of us do as well. So obviously, God does everything with a purpose. If He wants to honor, if we honor our parents, then in turn He will honor His promise that He will do us good. However, as I mentioned, we don't obey the command just because there's a promise of long life and blessings. We do it because it's right. So just as with the Christian life in general, honoring our parents will have a very salutary effect on our lives and on us as a people, the people of God. Some believe that Paul is addressing only children who are still under their parents' care. Okay? Some of the commentators I read said, well, this has reference to children who are living at home, primarily. Well, maybe that's the case, but I think that it also extends to everyone, not just a child that lives at home. And we'll see in a little while one of the cases where one of the children was being disobedient, and I don't get the idea that this child was some little kid by the context that's going on there. So we'll see that in a bit. And while we're at it, even though it's not part of the command, but nevertheless, later on, Paul goes on to talk about how parents ought to nurture their children. So again, it's not in view primarily in the command, in the fifth commandment, but Paul affixes that to his rehearsal of the commandment as to how the parents are to treat their children. Obviously, we can discuss that at another time, but it's important for parents to nurture their children, especially those that are young ones, because they are what little children conceive of as God. You know, when a little child looks at his parent, that's the first authority figure that they know. And so that will have a lot of influence as to what they think of God. If you're a parent who is abusive or otherwise neglectful, that may be the way that your child will view God in the future. And unfortunately, I know firsthand of some people who have had that experience and who today are not believers because their parents were the way they were. And so that is the image that they have gotten of God. It's sort of like, if God is that way, then I don't want anything to do with him. Obviously, that doesn't excuse their unbelief, but I think it shows how important it is for us to teach and to admonish our children. And of course, the primary responsibility we have is to teach the faith to our children, because the faith is the anchor. Nothing will protect our children out there in the world and with all of those influences that they're coming under than for them to have that basis of faith. So it is a great responsibility indeed. So we move on to the next question, which is, what is forbidden in the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment forbids the neglecting of or doing anything against the honor and duty which belongs to everyone and their several places and relations. So again, as you see, the catechism is going beyond the parent-child relationship, but we'll stick with the parent-child relationship for our purposes today. Now, in the law, as you know, there were a lot of sins that the penalty for those sins was death. And this was designed to show the Israelites the seriousness of God's law and the seriousness of sin. Okay? There's nothing concentrates the mind more than to know that you're going to be stoned if you do certain things. Right? And so there's no doubt about whether what I did was wrong, because I'm being stoned. So obviously it is wrong. And it serves as an example for others as well. Some of these punishments, you know, sometimes we think, the modern mind looks at those things and thinks, why in the world would that be worthy of death, right? John mentioned a few weeks ago, in the first part of the fourth commandment, the man that was picking up sticks on the Sabbath. And Moses goes to God and asks what should be done, because of course this was sort of like shortly after the commands had been given, and there was a doubt as to how this was all going to work. And so what does God do? He makes an example of the individual. He gets stoned. And so we look at that and we think, wow, that seems rather extreme punishment for something that in our mind is so trivial. But again, when we compare what we do to other people, then yeah, maybe that's extreme. But bear in mind that you're sinning against God. And so when you're sinning against God, every sin becomes a tremendous problem. Right? Because you're talking about the only completely pure and holy being there exists. We have a problem conceiving of that, mainly because we're not pure and holy. And so it's impossible for us to conceive of a pure, holy, completely sinless mind. But in that case, that is why the punishment was what it was. The point there was not that what the man was doing was so horrible. It was that he was violating God's command. You know, he was willfully doing something that God didn't want him to do. So again, it was necessary for God to show in a graphic way what violating his law meant. Ginger and I have been listening to Joshua over the last few nights. And in chapter 3, I believe, we have the story of Achan. When he goes and he takes some stuff from one of the cities that the Israelites were supposed to destroy. And he hides it in his tent and so on. So what's the penalty? He, his family, his cattle, everything got stoned and then got burned. And again, we think of that and we say, you know, that's awfully extreme. But again, making the example of how terrible and God dishonoring this was. And that, I think, is the point. So dishonoring your parents is just as heinous, because the penalty for that was death as well. In Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21, we read the following. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of a city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. So, as I was mentioning before, that's why I think that the command isn't just for little children. Because obviously you have an individual here who is a drunkard and a glutton. And so I kind of doubt that a little kid would be a drunkard. So, you know, more than likely this was an adult who was being disobedient and rebellious against his parents. What happens? He's brought before the elders and he is stoned. So again, serious, extremely serious offense. The point was being made. And as the Lord said there at the end of that passage as well, it serves as an example for the rest of Israel. So the last question is, what is the reason annexed to the fifth commandment? The reason annexed to the fifth commandment is a promise of long life and prosperity, as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good, to all such as keep this command. So I discussed it a little bit in detail, so I'm not going to discuss it in too much detail again, but I think that the Catechism says something that I think is very noteworthy, and that is that all that we do is designed to glorify God. And this is no different. We have a promise from God, but we should remember that those promises are not simply to make us feel better. It's not for us to gain somehow. That is not the only reason that God has blessed us or will bless us, but that through them God will be glorified and His people will be uplifted, strengthened, and sanctified. That's what it's all about. So that God will be glorified. We may not live to be 93, and we may not have a lot of goods on the earth, but whatever we have and however long we live will all be to the glory of God, and it will be to our good. God will ensure that He blesses us with many good things, whether those be material, spiritual, or both. If we fool ourselves into thinking that this promise means that we'll be rich and very old, then we're not understanding what it's all about, right? We're not like those who think that that is the end of life, even for the Christian. You're supposed to be healthy and wealthy and healed all the time. That's not biblical. And those people that are peddling that that idea are going to have to pay for it. So in conclusion, honoring our parents is not optional. It applies whether our parents deserve it or not. Right? And again, deserving, I use that term advisedly, because a lot of times who determines whether they deserve it or not? Right? We sometimes set ourselves as judge and jury of what's good and what's evil, and that's a problem in itself. So we are to honor our parents regardless of how they act. Honoring our parents is right and well-pleasing to the Lord. If we honor our parents, we please God. And conversely, if we don't honor our parents, then we don't please God. You know, simple as that, right? There's a definite correlation between those two. Those who are honoring his parents, or his parents or their parents, are honoring God at the same time. God has promised us that it will go well with us if we honor our parents. Those blessings are the discretion of the giver. Remember that, right? That God is the one who decides just how and when He's going to bless us. He'll determine what good things He'll grant us and how long that life is. And bear in mind that some of those blessings may be what we consider negative, because maybe the negative things are the ones that are going to make us better, are going to sanctify us, are going to make us more like Christ. Right? Remember the Ordo Salutis, how God is going to justify us, He's going to glorify us, but He's going, first of all, to conform us to the image of Christ. And in conforming us to the image of Christ, sometimes negative, what we consider negative things, have to come into our lives, because they'll accomplish that goal much better than good things all the time. Being a rebellious child carried the death penalty under the law. Honoring our parents is extremely serious business. We owe our parents that honor and respect simply because of who they are, not because of what they do. So they're our parents. That automatically makes them worthy of our respect and of our honor. Now, if our parents are not believers, that doesn't mean you don't go and give them the gospel and tell them that they're in sin and that they need Christ. You know, obviously. You can do nothing more loving than to tell someone who is a non-believer that they need Christ in their lives. But again, you do that with respect, just like you would respect anyone else, but especially your parents. So we honor our parents by learning and practicing what they teach us about the Lord, if they are believers. Okay, this also is very important when we consider our spiritual fathers. Right? We all have spiritual mentors in our lives who have taught us the Word, and that we should respect, give them honor for that reason. And we do so by putting into practice those things that they have taught us. Again, obviously they have to be in conformity to the Word of God. We honor our parents by teaching our own children the way of God. For me, as a parent myself, I can think of no greater honor than my children could do me than for them to continue that teaching of their own children of the truth, and to continue that legacy of righteousness, so that those generations will continue to be godly generations, because in that is well pleasing to God. That is one of the things I think that we can leave behind when we leave the world, the earth, is a legacy of righteousness. We have taught our children well, they in turn will do the same with their own children. By being good parents ourselves, we honor our parents as well. So if we're good parents, that's also honoring our parents. If we're abusive, if we're neglectful, then we are showing that we do not care for our parents in turn as well. And by letting our parents lean on us in their weakness, just as they allowed us to lean on them in their strength. And so as our parents become older, they will need that shoulder to lean on. And we should provide it for them, just like they did for us when we were younger. You know, they took care of us when we needed to be taken care of. And so we can do no less than to take care of them when they need that as well. So, there you have it, Fifth Commandment. Hope it's been...